Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Hey, we're back. Michael Cohen, producer James Platy. It's Monday and it's raining. What a combo, but it is going to get nicer, up in the 80s later this week. Looking forward to that. So tempers were flaring at a state board of canvassers meeting last week as the board's 2-2 vote meant that a proposal to eliminate the state's updated emergency financial manager law will not be on the November ballot. Reverend Charles Williams was there. He's the pastor of Detroit's historic King Solomon Baptist Church and president of the Michigan chapter of the National Action Network. Reverend Williams, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me, Brother Cole.
Well, you know, I saw a photo of you at the meeting. It looked like you were within feet of these election board members, and you had your finger pointed at them, and it looked like you were yelling. So tell me, what was happening there?
Well, we believe that it was definitely a shame what the Board of Canvassers did. It was a miscarriage of justice. It was a dismissing of democracy. And quite frankly, it was political posturing at its best. And so, yes, our tempers may flare, but we are going to continue to fight this. We're going to fight it in the courtroom, and we're going to fight it in the street.
Do you remember what it is you were yelling at them? Because it looked like you were 2 to 3 feet away from them at the time.
I mean, all of us in the auditorium felt that it was a shame. And so shame is what we made sure we let them know that we felt about that decision.
Now, you were directly involved in getting these 226,000 signatures together. So tell us now, what was the reason these two board members gave for voting against the proposal from going on the ballot?
There was a question of the font size, of the wording that was on side of the petition. Turns out that there's even more of that it was really just something that they could hang their hats on to try and dismiss those signatures. That, you know, understand this, my friend, that this was not a campaign that the unions or some strange group paid people $1 per signature or $2 per signature. This was a campaign that was built specifically out of the heart and passion of those who believe that Public Act 4 is anti-democratic. And so we believe that those folks who were inside of that room and that those two conservative, Republican, or right, whatever you like to call them, appointees of Governor Rick Snyder, we believe that they were wrong.
You knew, and I'm guessing those in the group that were supporting this ballot proposal were very well aware how divisive the proposal was and that they certainly would be looking for any reason to knock it down. Why wasn't the type size of the heading checked and confirmed before the signatures were turned in?
Well, let me say we did have attorneys who looked the stuff over. They gave us the green light, one. Two, this was a grassroots effort. I mean, it was built right up out of the ground, and I think that after we got the approval from the folks that we had look at this stuff, and after they gave us the go-ahead in terms of approving our language, we decided to move on it. And so that's the reason, and that's the way that came about. But at the end of the day, we're not concerned really about their inaction and their posturing, political posturing, because we believe that the courts will prevail, and we will win, and it will be on the ballot.
Now, the font size, what, it needs to be a 12, and you turned in something that was a 10? Can you explain that?
Well, it's not actually that much of a difference. Actually, the font size was the same size that it should be. As you know, if you are if you have Times New Roman, and then you have a different style font, like Arial, then you know what possibly could happen is the size of the words can change. And so it is my understanding, and I'm not the attorney, so I don't want to get into too far into the specifics, but it's my understanding that we had the font size right, but just there was just a little bit tad difference in the actual type of font that we had.
Wow, that's a very good eyesight by the board members. I'm talking to Reverend Charles Williams. He's the pastor at Detroit's historic King Solomon Baptist Church, president of the Michigan National Action Network. So where does that leave this proposal now? It's going to court. I mean, is it going to end up in any way on the November ballot? Is there any chance for that, or is that simply not going to happen now?
It's our hope that the courts will prevail. The court is not supposed to be Republican. The court is not supposed to be right-wing. The court is supposed to be fair and just, and so it's our belief that due to the fact that there is already past precedence in terms of case study, that these types of things have been approved and put on the ballot, we believe that we will be vindicated and the people's voice will not be squandered. We will have the opportunity to vote for this in November. We're going to take it to every court.
Let me ask you about this law, though, or this Public Act 4, because what we're seeing, certainly in Detroit, is that, as the governor has said, this is a last resort. He does not want to assign an emergency financial manager if he does not have to. And in Detroit's case, there was a consent agreement that was finalized. Doesn't this prove that Republicans and Governor Snyder do, in fact, want to avoid assigning an emergency manager if they really can?
Understand this. The financial stability agreement, the consent agreement that was agreed upon by the Detroit City Council, was not a fair consent agreement. It was not a consent agreement that would have absolved us or that absolves us from an emergency management. In fact, quite frankly, it's just emergency management by another name. And so our concern, and the other aspect of this whole piece is that our concern is that anything that takes the power from the people in terms of the ones we elected is anti-democratic, and which we do not believe in.
But without
the Act 4 does the same thing. And the consent agreement does the same.
But without this law, wouldn't we see cities and school districts going bankrupt, and then residents would be the ones to suffer because of local incompetence?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you would see cities going bankrupt. But you know what? There was a city by the name of New York that went bankrupt, major city in our country, and the elected officials were not dismissed, one. Two, the federal government had to step in and make sure that they provided assistance. You cannot rehabilitate a community or a municipality just by cutting. The financial stability agreement, the emergency management, they are not emergency managers that specialize in adding and infusing. They specialize in cutting and killing. And that is not necessarily going to help anything. City government, municipal government is not a business that requires private equity firm for you to sell off and then to merge it with another.
But state lawmakers,
it doesn't work.
State lawmakers will say, "Look, the money just is not there. If it was there, we'd try to help." But even in Detroit's case, ultimately the state is just now barely on its feet. It has a surplus this year. As you know, the money could go in so many different ways and is necessary in so many departments. But in terms of helping municipalities, they say the money isn't there to provide.
Well, that's what they say. Say one thing, do another. $1.2 billion surplus in the state of Michigan for the first time. The governor touts, but yet no money to give the city of Detroit the $220 million in tax revenue dollars that, by the way, we have earned, not that we are asking for, but that we just earned. So I think that's a major concern. Tax sharing, revenue sharing is a big issue in the state of Michigan, and it just doesn't affect Detroit. It affects Allen Park. It affects Taylor. It affects Lansing. It affects cities all over the state of Michigan that aren't getting their fair share that they should be getting, only because the state wants to suck up all the money around their own personal projects like bridges.
But let me ask you this. Ultimately, this emergency financial manager law as it exists and its use, doesn't that reflect, when we actually do use it, that there is an unwillingness or maybe simply an inability for local leaders to resolve their own financial crisis?
You know, I think at the end of the day, whatever happens, we elected the people who are in place. Understand this. There are states all over the country that are dealing with financial deficits. And if you're telling me that you think that the president of the United States of America should come in and say, "I'm going to let your legislature go and I'm going to let your governor go," then you're telling me that you want to go back to pre-Civil War days. I mean, at the end of the day, democracy works, and it has been working for the last hundreds of years that we've been using it, and we cannot dismiss it under a financial emergency.
So let me ask you then, at this point, the case is going to court, but is there no way to reapply for this ballot proposal, you know, correcting the issue that the two dissenting voters pointed out?
There is, but there certainly isn't enough time to make sure we can get it by the time of the November ballot. We're going to court. You know, it's so funny to me that they talk about, the state talks about how much it's draining in terms of money, but they would rather fight all of these issues in court. So they're an issue. We've got at least four or five cases right now that a Sugar Law Center and AFSCME and other groups are suing the state for, and they got their attorneys working on this thing. I mean, at the end of the day, we believe that we're going to win. Why? Because past precedent and past case law shows that we have prevailed before.
Although other ballot proposals have been knocked down because of these types of typos, let's say, on the proposals themselves and on the applications. So just to clarify then, if it doesn't go through this year, can you reapply and potentially have it on the February ballot or sometime next year?
It's my understanding that we can, you know, the people can put together a ballot initiative at any time. It's just a matter of which election, which ballot it goes on.
So whether it goes, you don't have to recollect these signatures. That's a done deal.
No, we would have to recollect the signatures, is my understanding.
I see. Wow, starting from ground, starting from the bottom back up. Well, we'll see what happens with this case, obviously going to court next. Reverend Charles Williams, pastor of Detroit's historic King Solomon Baptist Church, president of the Michigan National Action Network. Reverend Williams, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
When we come back, MSU's commencement occurring this weekend, but we're going to find out all the things that students are not going to be hearing by an author who is just, the book is not out yet, but it involves all the things that students are not told at commencement that they should be told. Some fascinating stuff. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.